Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening eargasm pleasure from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where it's so hot that everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guests, panelists today, are Alan Bainbridge. Alan, say hello.
Hello.
And we also have Johnny Bridge. So we've got Bainbridge and Bridge. Johnny, say hello.
Good day.
All right. Well, this is kind of like a Bridge Over Troubled Water show. So let's start off with figuring out who it is you are and what indeed the discussion is going to talk about, because this is sort of a random, you know. We're coming in here blind, feeling around, taking a stab in the dark. So, Alan, let's start with you.
Well, I mean, lots of ways I'm here because of what happened in the weekend. There was a demonstration on sort of about democracy, about connecting a whole lot of issues. And one thing that, you know, I'm passionate about is that all of these issues that people worry about, and there's fluoride and there's GE, there's sort of extractive industries that want to rip our country and probably the world apart. Lots and lots of different issues. I'm personally also involved in something called Positive Money, which is an organization trying to take away the current system of money being issued as debt and have money issued without debt and distributed. And all of these things are so connected that people simply don't realize that you can no longer just walk down the street with a sign that protests one thing. Everything has to be sort of protested against until we can finally get a little bit of sense at the top, or take away the top, perhaps, and start from the bottom up.
Mm. One would conclude that there's been so many lies being told to the people of the country through the media and the schooling system and the parliament and so on and so forth, companies, whatever, that it comes to the point where you can't just protest about one thing because almost everything's a lie.
That's putting it very succinctly there, Vinny.
Yes. And Johnny, yourself, can we have a little bit of info about you?
My name's Johnny, and I don't like to talk about the problems because I believe the solutions, and I believe right now if we don't do something rather radical, we're all in a whole lot of shit.
Yeah, we can't swear on FCC-regulated radio, by the way. Do you believe that I'm talking about just sort of introduce yourself and what it is you do and how you got into this kind of field and how you wound up here, really, because you're staying with Lisa Eyre right now.
I'm an environmentalist, and that's about as simple as it is.
Okay, so you're an everythingist, because environment means everything.
Yep, it does. Yep.
Okay, well, can I ask, what's this perspective about not discussing the problems, only discussing the solutions, or are both necessary? Do you both need to understand the problem in order to solve it, or do you need to ignore the problem and just come up with solutions based on nothing? Maybe that's a bit of a loaded question. But the perspective still stands between some people. They don't want to talk about the issues, but they do want to talk about the solutions. And my question is, how can you solve a problem without fully understanding it and discussing it thoroughly?
I believe you put a team of experts together who understand all the different aspects of the problems and know how to implement the solutions.
Okay. Yeah.
If I could just dive in there, I'd probably say also that the problems are pretty well understood these days.
Yeah.
And that is a great way of thinking, is to sort of look at solutions and maybe just bypassing the normal course of finding solutions and getting straight there. Good thinking, Johnny.
Mm-hmm. See, I also think as well that the general populace isn't quite so well informed of the problems themselves, because you have a look at, say, Hamilton, for example, how they've decided, even after getting fluoride out of the water, that it's a good idea to have a referendum over it and try and put it back in. And yeah. For myself, you know, it was like, man, now instead of the dentists and the doctors and so forth that we have on the anti-fluoride side having to explain the details and the facts to a small number of councillors and have them be convinced of the truth, you now have to take it to the masses, who also will be confronted by a huge quantity of propaganda from the establishment on this issue.
Yeah, I believe if we put a team of experts together who the public trusts and the masses actually trust and will actually believe, because they're trustworthy people with experience, that we have a good basis for the truth being exposed.
So in terms of talking about solutions, how exactly can you get those messages to the masses if the people causing the problems control all the media?
I believe ultimately we need to have an international conference and bring all those international experts together in one place, bring all the international media in and have that discussion.
I think maybe that, you know, the role of internal and sort of independent media, a bit like yourself there, Vinny, is probably very, very important here, that the mainstream media follows the money and the people who pay them will always decide what they're going to run. And, of course, in this day and age with the internet and radio shows like this that go around the world, there's a real opportunity to simply bypass the media, the same as inventing the car, bypass the blacksmith for making horseshoes.
You also, if you've got 100 of the best minds in this world together in a room, top scientists, environmentalists, experts, the media's not going to ignore that. The whole world's going to want to know what those people are saying, what they're talking about. They can't ignore that.
I don't know. I don't think you should never underestimate what the media are capable of ignoring.
Yeah, but we with this technology we've got, with internet, YouTube, Facebook, we're all connected through that technology. We don't 100% need the media, because we can be the media ourselves.
Well, I do believe that this is part of the growing evolution of society, is that people are gradually, I think growing up is not too strong a term for it. They're growing up and they're realising that the mainstream news is for kids and that they need to go online to shows like this and many others in order to get accurate, credible information that isn't edited, or the activists and experts, as you say, aren't sound bitten like a mosquito. And this is the difficulty I found, is, you know, it's a David versus Goliath struggle. You got the alternative media here who have a lot of creativity, a lot of get up and go, savvy with the technology and so on and so forth. And then you have these big old dinosaur apparatus, which people believe because they're wearing suits and have really nicely done hair, not to make too fine a comment about myself, that they're trustworthy people.
And
they've got credibility of some description. And the reality is they don't have any credibility left. I saw an article come out of The Independent the other day saying that there's chemical weapon attacks in Syria. And guess what those chemical weapons are?
Fluoride.
Sodium fluoride, potassium fluoride. So I just want to see if we can get a Hamilton City Council referendum, put chemical weapons back in the water. Experts say chemical weapons in the water are good for your teeth.
Well, they did actually try to get the word hydrofluorosilicic acid onto the referendum itself.
Yeah.
They did get it onto the preamble, because that's what people need to realise, that it's not something like calcium fluoride, which is fairly stable. It is one of the most unstable things in the world that is going into our water supplies.
Ironically, just as unstable as Syria happens to be at the moment. Now,
you're back to the media.
Yeah.
Although there is issues with the media, and the media are what people believe control somehow. This technology that we've got right now, that they've created, the whole propaganda machine, is also our greatest weapon. It's the biggest threat to them.
Well, I had this idea that in order to gain control of the media, what you first need to do is undermine them, steal their audience, take away their advertising revenue, and as they go down and down and down, their stock price will go down as well, and then you can buy them up for pennies on the dollar. And then use that mainstream media apparatus to broadcast the truth. But of course, it would take a lot of resources and a lot of time. But that's one of my goals in life, you know, one of my bucket lists.
That's what I'm saying, is if you get the best minds in this world together, you get a group of international experts from all over the planet, have a conference, that's media itself. That's going to get out there.
The other element here that we want to talk about is not only just the media and not just fluoride, Syria, so on and so forth, but there's also a lot of TPPA, like the trade deals coming in now. And what I see happening on a global level is that people are being controlled, not necessarily by legislation anymore or their own thoughts. They seem to be controlled by trade deals. And the World Trade Organization has turned into sort of a de facto world government to a large degree. If governments do something they don't want, they take them to this world court, which they've paid for, which they own, and always get the judgments that they want.
It's all part of the global industrial military complex.
And I think the thing we've actually got to do is stop calling these things trade deals, because they're definitely not trade deals. The trade is only one or two chapters, I think, in something like 27 in the TPPA. I was recently in Europe, and there's a Europe-US trade deal. I forget what the sort of initials are that sort of go by that, but it's exactly the same. It's all about corporations being able to take governments to, like, secret courts, if you like, kangaroo courts, as I heard them described recently. But basically taking away the rights of all of the citizens of different countries that actually the things they hold dear. You know, for instance, if we wanted to have a buy local campaign, which is not such a great big deal of a thing to want, to shorten the supply chain, if you like, for the goods, that would not be allowed under the TPPA. In fact, our government could be sued for instigating such a thing. So there are lots wrong with what is going wrong.
One of the biggest problems is everyone's running around behind the government. We need to ignore our governments, do what we want to do, and make them run around behind us.
Well, I remember somebody telling me many years ago. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
There's a way to do that.
What
because the minute the government put out something, they put out an idea or something like TPPA, GCSB, they've got the whole country running around behind them trying to stop them. So we need to just ignore the whole lot of them, work out what we want, and keep working on that.
Well, what exactly are you proposing there? I mean, if we're going to start ignoring the government lock, stock and barrel, what actually needs to be done in order to accomplish that? I mean, what is it we want?
I believe we need to have an international conference for peace, an international conference for the environment and an international conference for technology all at the same time.
Peace, environment and technology simultaneously.
And bring all those experts from around the world together to New Zealand. And
I believe banking should really be a central part of a conference of that magnitude, because who holds back all the technology? who finances all the companies that destroy the environment?
Yeah, well, we need to stop.
Who loans all the money to the governments who go to war?
Stop printing money for debt and stop printing money to create war and actually print money to fix the environment. Because at the moment, everyone's consuming stuff from the environment.
Mm. They're not putting
to
enough
get
back.
Money. And if we actually printed money, like if New Zealand printed its own money, said we're going to start printing our own money, and we're going to print money to employ everyone, to fix the whole country, fix the environment, give everyone jobs, grow food everywhere, make everyone happy.
Hmm.
Well, I would say that, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. The first thing I sort of disagree with is we should forget the term printing money. Only about 3% of our money is actually printed or minted at the moment. We create money, and banks are create 97% of the money that we actually use in this country. I believe it's 95% in the States. It's
printing money, but creating our own money.
But I mean that's very true.
And it's a tool. Money is a tool that's being used against us. Mm. It could be a tool that we could use for us.
Mm.
Until such a time as we don't actually need it anymore.
Yeah, well, money's a unit of energy. Energy can power a death machine or an ECMO machine, you know. And at the moment, I think we're on an ECMO machine, economically speaking. You know, it's like Weekend at Bernanke's, you know, kind of thing, sort of like Weekend at Bernie's, where we've got a dead guy. And we're coming to break just now, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Alan Bainbridge, Positive Money in New Zealand, and Johnny Bridge as well, the old bridge discussion. And in fact, you know, we'll get out some cards and over the break we'll have a game of bricks. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thefunnyeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere.
Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time, it's business time.
It's business, it's business time.
Welcome back.
You mean it's business time.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about business time. We're even wearing our business socks. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. There's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news, is the website. TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. There's plenty of archives there, including a Kiwi Collaborators page, where we have a page specifically dedicated to guests from New Zealand, which these two gentlemen are. Now, we were getting into a discussion over the break about an international conference, and you've got a list of 100 names.
Well, I don't know if there's 100.
Well, I mean, we're not going to have time to read out all of them, but what I think this actually really illustrates is that there are so many different fields, so much expertise within the world, and guess what? If any of these people are interviewed on the mainstream media, they'll get maybe a couple of minutes of time, maybe, if they're lucky. And the reality is these people are somebody you could talk to for hours and hours and hours and hours and still not have enough information. And this is why it is indeed really poignant and important in this day and age to have people who know what they're talking about by which you can actually make decisions. Unfortunately, we've got a parliament system that has a whole bunch of people who don't know what they're talking about, who are advised by people who know what's going on but don't tell them the truth, and therefore the country collapses into a dark cesspit of scumbaggery.
Yeah, we've also got a country full of people who believe that government is the ultimate authority and we all have to be their subservients.
Mm.
And we all have to submit to government when we are our own authority. And just because someone says, oh, this is the law and you have to do that and this is the way it's going to be, well, who says that has to be the way?
Mm.
No one is the author to the script of our lives but ourselves.
This is true. And do you believe that human beings themselves are currently operating under mind control? That there are certain elements out there, and there's many forms of mind control, whether that be media mind control or just wordplay.
But I believe a lot of people don't comprehend their mind, how their mind works, and how to control their own minds.
Mm. I'm trying to think of the name of the guy in the States who started this whole PR sort of movement.
Edward Bernays.
That's the fellow, and he's got a lot to answer for, as does his uncle, Sigmund Freud. but, of course, people are under mind control, but a lot of it's of their own doing. You know, there are people who benefit from the current system, and there are people who aspire to be part of the current system and think they may benefit in the future. I happen to think the ones who aspire are actually totally wrong. And sooner or later, it's that group of people that will need to find that information out. And then the whole system will change. The system we have at the moment is not a democracy. It's a dictatorship that we get a little bit of say in every 3 years.
That sounds like democracy to me.
It sounds like what passes for democracy.
Yeah.
In a true democracy, I could sit here right now and fire every government in the world. That would be democracy.
Mm. Well, you unilaterally taking out every government in the world and firing them.
Yeah, that sounds like the American military to me.
Yeah.
No, just fire them. We're not listening to you anymore. We're not doing what you say. We're going to form our own government. We're going to form our own new world order or something.
Have you ever been bullied in school? And what I noticed when I was bullied in school is that when I walked away from the bullies and completely avoided them, suddenly I didn't have to deal with them anymore.
Yeah.
Is that basically what you're talking about? Is like just not listening to the government, not doing anything that they say. Oh, this is a law. Oh, really? It's a law. Hmm. Did I contract? Did I agree to it? No, I didn't. Get off my lawn.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm. The problem with that is, that's when you're dealing with people who have heart. That's when you're talking with people who have intellect. The government hires people specifically who are heartless, mindless people to implement their agendas because they're the only people dumb enough and callous enough to do so.
Yes, but there's also enough people out there who have got a heart,
mm-hmm.
who do want world peace, who do want to fix the environment, who do want to see happy people, and I mean, right now, I'm sure that 99% of the world would like world peace.
Mm. I wish the figure was that high, personally. I think still too many people benefit, and too many people perceive that they benefit from the things that are going wrong. And I think it's a numbers game. Sooner or later, there is going to be a majority, and then everything will change very, very quickly.
Yes, and I think it'll change in radical ways that a lot of the world's not ready to comprehend yet.
Mm. It'll be kind of hundredth monkey sort of thing, you know, everybody will be like grinding away, and then boom, the realisation hits everybody. Oh, my God, the government are a
bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. I don't need to listen to them anymore. We don't even need them anymore at all. It's like, oh my God, I lose my government. What? You mean I get to lose 30% of taxation that was imposed on me with no freaking choice? I get to lose the environment being poisoned and not protected by a bunch of lake official trusts that have polluted 100% of the lakes that have put into their thing, and then it'll have to be revert into Māori ownership, which have kept 100% clean every lake that's ever been put under their jurisdiction. Oh my God, how terrible would society be?
People would just have to be nice to each other, wouldn't they?
You're just too silver-tongued. There's no answer to any of that.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about here, is people who become sort of sycophantic. I don't know, have you ever met a young gnat? No? Oh, God. Talk about suckling to the teat of tyranny. It's like I have no life experience. I've been indoctrinated from day one. My parents never looked after me, so they put me in daycare. Then they put me in kindergarten. Then they put me in public school. Then they put me in university. Then I did postgraduate study, and then I got my PhD. And now I'm a dick who doesn't think for himself. Great. I'm going to join the National Party. And then, boom, we get dicks who can't think for themselves being the authorities, which everybody has to follow by force. And when you ask them for a referendum, they say, "Yeah, it's non-binding. I don't care what the results of the referendum are."
The more time we spend focusing on the government, complaining about the government, hassling the government, putting the government down, calling them names, whatever, we're giving them energy.
We're
focusing on them. We need to ignore the whole lot of them. Go, we've got an opportunity in this right now for massive reform, massive change. We could grab that energy, find a way to get it, harness it, and direct it, and boom.
Mm. Is it possible to start producing our own currency and start issuing it without the government say-so?
It's certainly possible to produce alternative currencies, and there are lots of places in the world which are actually doing that.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin is one, but there are lots of local currencies that are doing an amazing job. I mean, the thing about local currencies, and this is not particularly my field, but when somebody spends something in using a local currency, using local businesses, something like 45% of the profit from that purchase they make stays in that community. When they purchase something from a multinational using the national currency, less than 10% stays in that community, and I just may be wrong with those figures, but they're somewhere around those levels. And this is the whole thing, is that one of the big things that has gone wrong in our society, and the things that we can change, we don't need governments to change them, is to reinstate community. Mm. And if we reinstate community, then a lot of these problems will in fact go away, just as Johnny was saying. Because communities are the key to democracy. If we have communities again, then decisions can be made locally, which is the way democracy should work. That should work from the ground up, not top down.
New Zealand's building the Southern Hemisphere's largest intentional community, village, intentional village, which is a place called Atamai.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain it?
Atamai is an intentional model of a sustainable village.
Okay, go on. What do they do? I mean, they just sit out there apart from society and just say, well, everybody else is fracked, we're sweet as, we've got our little sustainable village. Or is there actually a more leadership role trying to expand and grow and bring more people into the idea or the ideology? Or do you just not know?
Is it sort of food independent and energy independent, the village?
Yeah. Their idea is to become as self-sufficient as possible, as a model of self-sufficiency for other communities, other villages, other areas.
Right. And do they engage in trade with other villages and communities and so on and so forth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's an educational role to provide a model that anyone else can follow.
Yeah. This actually brings me to an important point. If you actually want to accomplish something great, don't say, oh, we need to accomplish something great. Just go out and freaking do it.
And do it.
And then you become the example by which everybody says, oh, I want to accomplish something great. Well, these guys are doing it. Those guys are doing it. Those guys are doing it. What's stopping you?
Yeah, well, that's why I suggest we have an international conference for peace, the environment and technology. We bring out the people who know about the technology that's being
suppressed
or hidden from us. We bring out the international experts on peace that can actually help people understand and comprehend the way to peace. And we bring the environmental, ecological experts together who know how to fix these so-called problems in our environment.
Would you say that there's one kind of issue that is of particular juicy substance to you that you could propose, say, a solution to? I'll take that as a maybe.
Well, I certainly, when it comes to the monetary system, I mean, people have asked me before if I'm really interested in economics, and no, I couldn't give a shit about economics. But I am interested in the environment.
Sorry to the affiliates.
I am interested in sort of social equity, all of the really important issues. And until we can actually change the system to provide the resources for those types of things, then we will never have real change.
I think the change needs to come from within ourselves. And I think the biggest problem starts in the human heart and...
Like a spiritual, psychological change.
Love and the absence of love and how love is perceived. Because people have a love of money, they have a love of materialism, they have a love of gaining things, getting things.
Yeah, but they've been taught to love those things. They've been told that money is their God.
We can reteach people.
We can reteach people, yeah, and I totally agree with everything you're saying. But, I think... It's no good just sort of blaming these people for having the wrong attitude to the world, because there needs to be an effort to change these people, to for them to realize, and people do spontaneously realize, as you said, that the system is wrong and it's about time we change it.
Well, we are the system.
Oh, I disagree on that. I think there's, you know what a psychopath is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. A member of parliament.
Well, the American Medical Journal states that a psychopath is generally a smiling, very enchanting person who's very nice when you first meet them, but ultimately has no depth to their character and doesn't have any long-lasting relationships. And that's like every employer I've ever had. That's like every prime minister we've ever had. That's like every. That's like almost every CEO of a major Fortune 500 company. So when you say we are the system, I don't think so. I think psychopaths are the system, and we are the victims of it at the current point.
We're not victims of this world.
I mean,
why would you want to be a victim?
Oh, well,
why would you want to wake up today and believe I'm a victim of this world?
Because it's the truth.
Your truth?
Yeah, my truth. I believe
until you believe something else.
Well, yeah, exactly, until I've got contrary evidence. Yep. So if you can prove to me that I'm free, I'm not a slave, I'm not a victim of mind control, my food isn't being poisoned deliberately, my water isn't being poisoned deliberately, that the government is truthful and honest, that there isn't a worldwide agenda to kill people, there isn't a worldwide agenda to exchange massive debt with people in order to fold us into a new world order, then absolutely, I'll change my victim mentality just like that. You know, that's how I do. But unfortunately, no such evidence exists that I've seen so far. Now, regardless of whether or not I believe I am a victim or believe that I am a slave, doesn't mean that I like it, doesn't mean that I accept it, doesn't mean that I sit around and do nothing about it.
Because
this is what our discussion was originally about, is about whether or not you want to talk about solutions or you want to talk about problems. I like talking about the problems because once I understand it, then I know how to fight it. Once I accept it, then I no longer am in fear of the unknown. You'll listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few minutes, folks, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And Joni Bridge has a question for us. The one question that he feels will accomplish what he came here to achieve today. Go for your life, son.
I'd just like to ask, I'm going to offer an email address, my own email address, which is jbridge, J-B-R-I-D-G, at Orcon, O-R-C-O-N.net.nz. I'd like to know if there's anyone else out there, anyone who might be listening, anyone in this world who believes we could put an international conference together for peace, the environment and technology and bring the experts of our world together.
Have you come up with some kind of a catchy name for it?
We could call it the New World Order.
Yeah, or the Peace, Environment and Technology Conference, the PET Conference.
PET Conference, yep.
Yeah, yep. You could have some kind of a mascot, like a kitty.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a very serious question, though, Vinnie, and I think it certainly deserves a serious answer. And, you know, there are lots of things that can be benefited from people coming together with real solutions, and particularly the fact that it would be big enough to be seen around the world.
Yeah, anyone, if they're a peace speaker like Marianne Williamson or David Suzuki or... what's the guy that owns Virgin Airlines?
Richard Branson?
Richard Branson. You know, he could hop in one of his planes, he could pick all these people up and bring them all to New Zealand. We could have a big party in Queenstown and just get down and sort it out.
Yeah.
Well, as I said before, my nominee would be Vandana Shiva, because I think she's a woman that's done a great deal for food sovereignty and fighting this whole GE problem of people wanting to sort of use our food as a way of making money rather than feeding the world.
Food is a weapon, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And one of the biggest problems with GE and genetically modified organisms is a lot of people out there campaigning to have them labelled. The worst, most deadly genetically modified organisms are microbiological parasites. Mm. We can't see them. They're in our water. They're in our soil. They're in our meat. We can't see them. We can't put a label on them. They're there.
Can we also think about this? So food's a weapon. The water's being weaponized. I mean, after all, they are putting chemical weapons in it. And if you think about it, really, we've got such a massive problem. And it's what's called as a multi-spectrum. So in every single part of your life, in every single day, in every single way, you're being affected by the problems that I believe in many ways have been deliberately put there in front of you. Let's take EMF radiation, for example. Yep. If we could potentially, through this conference, come up with a solution to insulate and to seal and to reduce and or disperse the electromagnetic radiation frequencies that are coming out of the TV behind us, the computer in front of us, the microphones and the earplugs that are in our ears or something like that.
And the smart meters.
And the smart meters, you know. And here's the thing about when you think about the problems, and this is an interesting point as well, is that each problem snowballs and spills over into the other thing. Like, have you ever seen those big stacks, those big pyramids of champagne glasses, and they're pouring a giant bottle up the top, and as soon as the first glass fills up, it starts to fill up more and more and more and more and more. That's what the problems really are. Who's pouring the champagne?
Who's pouring the champagne? Rothschilds?
there's a number of names. There's a number of conferences and meetings and things like that are held by people like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, which was founded by David Rockefeller, Club of Rome, Knights of Malta, so on and so forth. What we're talking about here, essentially, is a ruling elite who have the resources, intelligence and control of the current fabric of society, which they have woven, and they have socially engineered us to be weaker, dumber, less capable for hundreds of years. So
I call them a gang of robbers in hiding.
Okay, so if we ever talk about the problems, what we're talking about is the symptomology of the very cause of the people who are pouring the champagne onto the champagne glass pyramid, aren't we not?
I think you should get rid of the word champagne, because this trickle-down, that's always been legendary since the beginning of the sort of neoconservative movement and neoliberalism is not champagne that's trickling down to the lower classes.
I believe these people, it took me a long time to try and comprehend it, that how can people do these things that's happening in this world? How can people be out there having wars and killing people and mass genocide and all this stuff? And what is in their heart that does that? And I think they have a very, very, very warped concept of love. I think what they believe love is very different to what a lot of the rest of the world believes.
Mm. Well, to be
these people must love what they do.
Yeah. Either that or they hate what everybody else loves. It's like they're antithesis to real humanity.
Such a superiority complex that they believe they're invincible from the rest of it.
Mm. Megalomania.
Yeah, I think tough love was a term sort of coined right at the beginning of this whole neo-lib sort of movement. And you're probably right on the money there by using that.
It's a corrupt heart.
Yeah.
The corruption starts in the heart. Because the heart is like the seat of the mind.
Mm. Well, it's the strongest muscle in the body, and it sends out electrical signals which basically power everything else. It is the source of your blood, and if you have a corrupt heart, there really isn't anything else that's really going to survive the impact of that. Because we were talking about champagne before, my mother has a toast that she says, champagne for your real friends and real pain for your sham friends. and this is what occurs to me now, is we have... deliberately given up so much over time to these people, and that they've made sure that they've taken things very, very slowly from us so that people don't rise up. What I find is interesting is that this is the result of social engineering. Ergo, it certainly must be possible, if it's capable of programming people into being submissive and into not resisting, it must be possible to reprogram them into being aggressively going out there and subverting their agendas and derailing them.
Yep, exactly.
How do we do that? And this conference that you talk about, I believe, would go a long way to understanding the general problems that we have. But again, they're just symptoms. You cut off the head of the snake dies. Are we talking about, say, there was a white hat society, allegedly, who said a couple of years ago that they were going to arrest the banksters and so on and so forth, and it never happened, but just the announcement that we're going to arrest all these bankster scumbaggery agents of the New World Order, everybody just said, yay, and then they sat back and did nothing.
Yeah, well, it's like the whole Occupy movement. I believe the Occupy movement was created by psychops, and it was designed to suppress and calm the growing momentum that was coming up against the bankers.
Mm.
People were getting aggressive. They were going to start using violence. They were going to take power into their own hands. I don't agree with using violence.
No.
But there was a whole momentum gathering and building against these bankers. And they put in that Occupy movement through psychops to quell that energy and calm it, and say, oh, we've got the power, we're all now sitting on our ass. We're not actually doing anything anymore. We're all sitting on our butt. We were about to try and take over the whole of America, but now we're all sitting on our butt, and the bankers are sitting up in their skyscrapers looking down at us going, ha, 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 that worked.
Yeah, I just imagine, you know, like a couple of Rockefellers or Rothschilds, you know, standing up in their penthouse apartment going, oh, hugging each other, freaked out. Oh, my God, there's people in tents. I don't think they were very afraid of us.
No, well, I mean, the whole thing about the Occupy movement and whoever started it and for whatever motive is that it still exists, and it's still like a power, if you like, and that is attracting people. And if it was created as a distraction, then it's backfired. And... you know, things like the Anonymous movement have been offshoots of that. There is a lot of things happening from the remnants of the Occupy movement, because whoever started it, it attracted a lot of the right people.
It did, it did.
And that's definitely the key thing, is that as long as people get involved, the trouble with believing that everything's created by the other side, and a great deal of stuff is, is that it stops people from getting involved.
Yeah, it makes
them worried about every single organisation. And I think it's probably time, you know, in our whole evolution to sort of forget about that and just do the right things through whatever organisation, whatever means you can. And that's why the Occupy movement is still powerful,
even though it may well
have been created for the wrong reasons.
Agree with that.
Mm. See, I was kind of part of the Occupy movement. I put up more videos for the New Zealand Occupy movement than anybody else, you know, with high quality and so on and so forth. I didn't officially become part of the Occupy movement because I wanted to maintain my independence. And after it got disbanded and after a whole bunch of people there turned out to be not very nice people at all and started accusing Penny Bright of being an SIS agent and all of this other kind of stuff. And you know, it occurred to me that I'm never going to join a group of people ever again. Not really officially, because I like to be independent. I can do more on my own than a whole group of people can because I don't have people telling me what to do. Yep. I don't have people disagreeing with me and holding me up and so on and so forth. As long as I don't hurt nobody or damage anybody's private property, nobody should have a problem with that.
Yep.
But here's the problem. You've got a corrupt system. So anybody who comes out doing anything good gets accused of being part of the corrupt system. They get accused of being an agent of the corrupt system. And as a direct result, just these accusations, just the rumour itself, is enough to derail movements entirely. And so people stop trusting each other. When you stop trusting each other, those who you don't trust actually wind up becoming your rulers by default.
Yep.
We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.